Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back on this Monday morning. I hope it's going well wherever you are, whatever you're doing. It's just going to get better because we're about to pray for you. That's right. Here live on air every single day, 9 a.m. Central, we pray for you, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I say we because I'm accompanied in that by a prayer warrior, somebody who comes in often to the studio or down the line, and they pray with me for you. Let's find out today, who is that prayer warrior?
In the studio again today, Kevin, we have Mrs. Jennifer Allbritton and her sons, Davis and Harris.
You mean we have the Allbritton All-Stars back again?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we do.
We're here.
That's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Jennifer, how are you doing? How was your weekend?
It was great. We had a really good weekend full of family fun, and it was just all around great. Church was great. Father Savoie had a great... had a great message for us, and couldn't be happier.
That's wonderful. So, Davis, tell me one thing at the weekend that made you love your mother even more.
To be honest, there's so many things I can't even count.
That's the best answer. What about you, Harris?
Same.
These boys are well trained, Jennifer. They're media savvy, as we say. They know how to answer the questions. Listen, Davis and Harris, it's great to have you back. How many days of freedom have you got left?
About like two weeks
probably.
Yes. Oh, 2 weeks.
They have
not 17 too bad.
Days.
Now, I think it was Harris's name was taken in vain the other day. I don't know if you heard this, Harris. I think it was yours. It might have been Davis, but I think it was Harris. We had Charlie in the studio with her mom, Shannon.
Oh, that might have been Davis. Charlie
yes.
and Davis.
Oh,
Charlie and Davis are in the same grade.
Yes, we are.
So I was saying to Charlie how she felt about, you know, being a radio star. And she said, well, there's somebody else. I said, who's that? She said, Davis.
We need to get.
I hope I'm not creating a sort of rivalry here, Davis, between you and Charlie. You know, you're both welcome, right? There's room for both of you on board this ship.
I know that.
I think it would be great to get both of them in here together.
What about that, Davis? Do you think that'd be possible to have you and Charlie together on the show? Too much, right?
That would definitely be a big maybe.
Listen, Davis, you should be a politician. You've got all the right answers. You know that? Yeah, that would be a maybe. That's great. Well, listen, guys, it's great to have you back here. I can hear your energy already, and boy, do we need that this Monday. Are you ready to pray for all the people of Mobile, Fairhope, and everywhere else that ask for our prayers today?
Yes, we are.
Absolutely.
Kevin, I noticed Jennifer is counting down the days in the summer. Even a little harder than Harris and Davis are.
That is a terrible slur, Reed. I don't believe a word of it. She loves every moment of it.
Absolutely not. We've had a great summer.
Well, I mean, you may be counting down because of the weather, because it's so hot or steamy. I don't know what it's like over there. Here it's like winter. It's unbelievable. But anyway, that's that. Now, listen, if anybody is out there and you've got a problem, health problem, economic problem, financial problem, marital problem, relationship difficulties, work issues, why don't you allow us to pray for you? Why don't you allow Harris, Davis, and Jennifer, and me, to pray for you this morning? What have you got to lose? Harris, what have they got to lose?
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Davis, what do you say?
Absolutely nothing.
Right, so there you have it from Harris and Davis, right? Nothing and absolutely nothing. Two wise men, right? So there's two ways you can join us. You can phone the show, 888-928-0881. You'll come straight through to Reed. He'll take your call. You can come on air, or you can just leave your message with Reed. That is perfectly okay, all right? Or you can text me direct on 251-928-2111. My question for you is this. Is the person who you're concerned about or your own problems not enough that you can text the show on 251-928-2111? 2-1-1. Really?
No.
You really? Exactly. Who was that, Harris?
Both.
Both. You guys are very, very sensible. Honestly, if you had a problem, Harris or Davis, you would pick up your phone and you would text this show straight away, wouldn't you?
Probably. I don't have a phone,
actually,
but yes.
Actually, you kind of do.
Yeah, let's think ourselves into this. If either of you guys had your mummy's phone and it was an emergency, you would contact this show for prayers, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we would.
Absolutely. Each and every decade, probably. Okay, so listen, that's what's on offer. The ball is in your court. We can make the offer. We can't do anything else. We can pray for you, whatever your needs are this morning. And I'm assuming, Davis and Harris, you have come fully loaded with lots of intentions to pray for this morning,
yes,
in any event.
Yes, sir.
We have. I mean,
fantastic. And
so is our mother.
Of course. Jennifer, I'm sure you've got plenty on your mind, plenty to pray for.
I do.
Especially with these two young gentlemen. Okay, so listen, have you come with your beads?
Yes, sir.
You know, I was out in the center of London yesterday. I was on the tube and I was really annoyed because I got off the tube train, the underground train, right? And guess what I had left on the train?
What?
Oh, no. Your rosary beads.
Yeah. I thought I'd put them in my pocket. And you know when you look back and the train doors are like closing, you know?
And you just see something right there that's yours and try to run for it.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. You run up to the window and you're sort of pawing it and the train's moving off. Mm-hmm. And you can see the beads moving off into the distance.
Well, maybe somebody needed them more than you.
Jennifer, do you know what? That was exactly what the thought I came to me. Yep. That somebody would pick them up.
Absolutely.
And somebody would use them.
That would be my hope. Hmm. That they touched someone else that day and maybe you made a difference in their lives like you do with ours.
Yes.
Well, can I let you into a secret, Davis and Harris and Jennifer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only between the three of us, okay? The four of us, right?
Well, and everyone was listening. They're
going to
hear.
No, nobody listens to this show. Don't worry. I have a friend in London who deliberately leaves rosaries on underground trains.
Oh, wow.
Deliberately. And he has the same mentality you've just identified, Jennifer. He wants people to pick it up and say, well, what's this? And maybe they'll take it home and they will have a blessed object with them. And you never know if they're a lapsed Catholic, they might think, oh, I remember this. I should pray this. Isn't that an interesting way of evangelizing?
That's amazing.
Especially in a godless place like London. Okay, well, let's make it less godless by now praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Okay, let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Thank you so much, Harris, Davis, and Jennifer. We are up and running. So for this first decade, Jennifer, I'm going to come to you. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Kevin, today I want to pray for you and Mike and Reed and Cheryl and all the amazing people here at Archangel Radio, the ministry and prayer and love that you give to our listeners and just, you know, all Catholics and Christians around is something truly, truly to be blessed for.
Well, I don't know what to say, Jennifer, and I'm a talk show host. I should be able to say something funny and witty as a response, but I'm just really, really grateful. Thank you so much for that, and thank you. Archangel Radio really is powered by the prayers of people like yourself, Harris and Davis. Yes, donors, yes, the board, yes, everybody working, but it's really a prayerful apostolate. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for first of all recognizing that, and thank you so much for praying for all of us involved in this little apostolate, this little attempt to bring Christ to the world through media.
Well, you guys have been on my mind so much just because of the blessings that you have bestowed upon me and my family. And like I said, all the listeners, just appreciative for someone, you know, others helping to spread the gospel and the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, let's give thanks. Let's give thanks for Archangel for all it's done. And also let's give thanks to the Lord for all it will do for the many lives that will encounter it in the weeks, months, and years ahead, please God. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jennifer, Davis, and Harris. Okay, for this second decade, it's over to you, Davis. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to pray for my family, especially my uncle Michael and his family. Their dog just had to get his leg cut off.
It's a her, Davis. It's a
her.
Yep, had to get the dog's leg cut off.
I'd also like to pray for world peace.
Yeah. Maybe to an end to a war in Ukraine. Could we pray for that as well, Davis?
Yes, sir. I had other intentions, but I can't think of them.
Don't worry. Listen, we're going to come back to you. You're going to get another bite at this cherry. Listen, I'm concerned about this dog. We've got to pray for it. We've got to pray for world peace. Absolutely. We're going to pray for Uncle Michael and his family and for this poor dog who's had his leg chopped off. So let's pray for that as well, Davis. And let's pray for all your family, okay? Let's pray for your extended family, of course, your mother and your father, but also all your relatives and friends that you know and everybody who knows you as well. Shall we include those in this second decade?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you so much, Davis. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Davis, Harris, and Jennifer. So for this third decade, Harris, we come to you and ask you, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I want to pray for Mr. Jim and his eye that gets better. And want to pray for
him? Just on that, Harris, because we prayed for Mr. Jim in the past. Have you been in touch with him recently? Has there been any developments?
No, sir.
I've spoken with him, and, you know, the cancer is shrinking on his eye, but he's having a very difficult time just seeing out of the eye and the pain. And, you know, he's an elder gentleman, and it's just not that it's taking away his independence. It's just a constant struggle and battle that he deals with daily. And like I said, it's affecting his sight.
Yes.
Keeping him up at night, and we just want to keep him in our prayers.
We practically adopted him.
No, we didn't.
Sorry, what did you say, Harris? I missed
That's Davis. We practically adopted him.
Right. Well, that's great. That's very, very good of you. I mean, does Mr. Jim know he's being prayed for?
Yes, I've told him several times.
Excellent. Well, let's keep praying, Harris, for this, and let's really pray for a miracle. Let's pray that Jim's sight is totally restored and that the pain goes away in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray for it. Now, did you have any other intentions, Harris, for this decade?
I have two more.
Yep.
I want to pray for my grandma, Choo Choo. Her real name is Barbara. Yep.
That's right, Barbara, I remember.
Her husband died when I was about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And she's been sort of lonely ever since.
Right.
And we've just been there for her ever since.
Wonderful. That's great. You must be a great consolation to her, Harris.
We are.
And did you have a third intention, Harris?
Yes, I'm gonna.
We got Uncle Jim. We got your grandma Barbara.
I'm gonna pray for the military.
The military, yeah. Everybody serving in the military at the moment who safeguards your safety and everybody else's safety. Pray for their families. It's difficult sometimes. I've just did an interview with a chaplain, as you know, who was a chaplain in the military. And the biggest problem is for the families sometimes, the sufferings the families go through. So let's pray for everybody in the military, all their families. And also let's pray. Shall we pray for all the military chaplains as well? They'd be good and holy men and will lead their little flocks in the right direction.
Amen.
Is that it, Harris? Is that the load?
Yes, sir.
That's great. Okay, so Uncle, Mr. Jim, Grandma, Barbara, and all the military, everybody serving in the military, both at home and overseas. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Harris, Davis, and Jennifer. Okay, so we've had a text in from our good friend Sherry. Sherry, who works here at Archangel. Good morning to you, Sherry. And Sherry's asking for prayers for Mark and his family. Mark's father, Arthur, died just recently, or just immediately. So we pray for the repose of the soul of Arthur. And we pray for Mark and his family who are bereaved at this time. We pray that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will be with that family at this time. And we pray for Arthur. We pray for the repose of his soul. And we pray for all the souls of all the faithful departed at this time. This prayer, as you probably know, Davis and Harris, is a prayer specially designed for those that are dying or who have died. So we remember all of them in this fourth decade. I'd also like to include in this fourth decade Archbishop Rohde of Mobile Archdiocese. We should pray for our bishops anyway, but at this time we'd like to pray for the Archbishop and pray that he is protected, helped, and strengthened in his task of shepherding this flock all the way to heaven. And in particular, we pray for the parish of Corpus Christi. We pray for all the parishioners there and everybody there. We pray and place them in the hands of our Lord at this time.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jennifer, Davis, and Harris. Now, I'm going to come back to each of you for this fifth and final decade. So if you just put your thinking caps on, if they're not already on, for that final intention. Maybe somebody has come to your mind in the last 20 minutes or so, and you think, yes, I just want to pray for that person. Or somebody that you brought with you anyway, and you were going to pray for. So I'll come to each of you in just a moment. I've had another request in for prayers from a mother who wants to remain anonymous, but she's rather concerned about one of her sons at this time. And we pray for all mothers and all sons, but especially where there's any sort of friction or problems of one sort or another, which, let's be honest, are inevitable. That's life, right? Life is just a series of problem-solving opportunities. So we pray for this mother, and we pray for all mothers today. And remind them that today is the feast day of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and he was going in completely the wrong direction until the Lord stepped in and the Lord made him a saint. So as St. Augustine said, I think it was St. Augustine said, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So let's keep that in mind as well. God knows what he is about. Okay, so who shall I come to first? Who wants to go first in this fifth and final decade?
I do.
That is Davis?
Harris.
Harris, forgive me. Yes, Harris.
I want to pray for my Uncle Michael and his family. I'm going to especially pray for his dog, Princess, because her leg got amputated.
Uncle Michael has been very much on our minds.
Okay. Well, let's pray for Michael. Good name to be praying for on this radio station, Harris, because Michael is, as you know, one of the archangels, and this is an archangel radio station. So let's commend his heavenly protector, Saint Michael the Archangel, to look after Michael and his family and all that belongs to his family, including Princess at this time. Okay, Davis, who or what would you like us to pray for in this fifth and final decade?
Everyone in the world, and that they can keep God's beloved creation, the earth, safe.
That's a wonderful prayer. I love your prayers, Davis. The world peace and the creation. It's big picture stuff with Davis. I love that. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for our good earth, which was given to us by God. Let's pray that we look after it, but also that we put it in perspective as well, that God, we're here to be saved and we're here on our way to heaven, first of all. But we do look after everything that God has given us, our health, our families, whatever careers he's given us. But we also look after the world around us as best we can. Thank you very much for that, Davis. Jennifer, as always, last word to Mother.
Well, you actually stole one of mine with the, you know, the Archdiocese and Bishop Rohde and all those who are hurting.
You can pray for them again, Jennifer. Let's pray for them again. I'm sure they won't mind an extra helping at this time.
Absolutely. But I'd like to pray for my neighbors, Miss Nita and Mr. Jim, Miss Jerry. Mr. Jerry has Alzheimer's, so I'd like to pray for them and all those who are suffering from Alzheimer's and, you know, their caregivers and family.
Absolutely. It's something which is often overlooked by others, and it's a hidden, long-suffering problem for certain families. So I think it's Mr. and Mrs. Jerry. We'll be praying for them definitely this morning. And anybody listening who's got Alzheimer's, anybody who looks after anybody who's got Alzheimer's, or anybody who's frightened that they may be starting to feel the impact of Alzheimer's, this decade is for you, thanks to Jennifer this morning. Very, very good intention, Jennifer. Very well worth praying for this morning. Okay, well, let's lift all of this up in this fifth and final decade as we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jennifer, Davis, and Harris, thank you so much for coming in and praying with us here live on air this morning.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now tell me that the All Britain All Stars will be back soon.
I hope so. I've got to check my calendar. I think I've got one planned soon, but I'm definitely going to double check with Cheryl and make sure we get on the calendar.
We probably will, because how much we've been on the radio for a long time. We've been on the radio for a long time.
Now listen, Davis, will you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Please don't tell Charlie you've been on the radio again. It's going to cause problems. You know that.
Well, that means I definitely will tell her.
Well, then maybe she'll come back. And as I say, we're going to have the Davis and Charlie head-to-head here live on the Prayer Warrior section of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That would be fun. They could bring all your friends.
I want to see the whole class try to fit into this studio and onto three microphones and get everybody.
Well, listen, Davis, you and Charlie are now sort of experienced professionals of the radio world. So I think you should bring in with you two friends each, and we could, or three friends each someday, and we'll have you all, and you will sort of lead the charge.
Okay,
what do you reckon?
I understand that. That might be a little hard with only three mics, though.
It might be.
Well, we managed it with you three. We can do it. Come on. We'll work something out.
Kevin gives me all kind of impossible tasks. Yeah, we'll be able to pull it off.
The theme music is Mission Impossible, Davis. We do a Mission Impossible on this show.
I watched Mission Impossible.
We really do.
I just watched that movie two nights ago. I'm fine with it.
Bum, 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 bum.
Jennifer, you've got two wonderful boys. Thank you so much for sharing the pleasure, the joy of the All Britain family with everybody here at Archangel Radio.
Oh, Kevin, thank you so much.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to be hearing about a woman who survived a genocide because she picked up her rosary and started praying. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to this werewolf-free zone, which is the Turley Frequency here live on Archangel Radio. It's great to have your company this Monday. I hope it's going well. I hope it's got better since we were praying for you. It really does change things, prayer. Never let anybody tell you that it doesn't. It really does change things. I must ask, Reed, what did you make of Steve Ray? I mean, I'm a complete fan, but did you find it as interesting?
I sure did, Kevin. You know, I don't have the experience with the biblical scholarship that you, in your in-depth research and everything, and just your studies have. But it's really interesting to me the way that the tradition of the Catholic Church lines up with the scripture. And I thought Steve Ray did a great job kind of highlighting that.
He did.
And how they match with, or how they complement each other. So, you know, he was describing how with just scripture, or what I mean to say is many Protestants believe in the concept of sola scriptura, which is, you know, of course, that the Bible is the sole source of their faith. And so, you know, the Bible is very confusing. We have been given the gift to understand much of it, but you know, there's still a lot of it that I don't understand, and I would consider myself somewhat well versed in theology in comparison to the normal person. And of course, there's an entire ocean of people who are more well studied than I am.
No, absolutely, you're absolutely right. I mean, the first thing to say is that sola scriptura is not taught anywhere in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. So to say that we only go by the scriptures, well, the scriptures don't actually say that. So that's the first thing. And the word of God that's often referred to in the scriptures is often referring to the oral teaching. I think it was 1 Thessalonians, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word of man, but as what it really is, the word of God. And the words it says in scriptures, you heard it from us. You didn't read it. you heard it. Anyway, we could get lost in that one. Sola Scriptura, I think, is not for me. Listen, if you're Protestant and listening to this or evangelical, I get it. I respect it. But we come from a different background, which has scripture and tradition. And it means, as Steve was saying, it means that we avoid some of the bear traps that are out there for people who simply believe in the Sola Scriptura.
Kevin, I actually took a really incredible class here at Coastal Alabama Community College in Fairhope. And it was actually a class on the New Testament. But for the first few months of the class, we really dug into how it went from oral tradition to scripture. And it was really one of the most fulfilling things that I've learned in my faith life. Because I've always thought it was so amazing how the apostolic succession works. I've always thought that was incredible.
Absolutely.
I'm sure most Catholics do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating subject, but it's kind of the Catholics' best kept secret, you know. How well thought out the church fathers thought about all of this sort of thing. And there's nothing new under the sun, so the idea of Sola Scriptura was around before. There was a whole school of people who wanted to completely cut, you probably know this, the heresy that wanted to completely jettison the Old Testament. And the church said, no, you got to keep it all together. And after listening to somebody like Steve Ray, you can understand why it's important to have both the old and the new. But we'll get Steve back and we'll have much more in-depth discussion about that because it's an absolutely fascinating subject, which just gets more interesting the more you actually learn about it. That's my experience.
We have some more exciting news to announce as well, Kevin. Well, exciting for anybody who works at Archangel Radio. our air conditioning has been restored, so we're all set on that front.
Now, we prayed for that last week, Reed. Do you remember? Was it Thursday we prayed for it?
I think that we prayed for it on Thursday, and it was fixed about 24 hours later. We had it going again.
Well, that's fantastic. I remember, I think it was Charlie who said it would take 4 weeks. I said, no way, we've got to pray for something a bit. There'll be nothing left of Reed and Mike after 4 weeks, so we got to get it done. So that's fantastic. The Lord heard our prayers. The patron saint of air conditioning, who you identified last week, Reed, unfortunately I've forgotten the name, so obscure Italian saint, came up trumps, and we have our air conditioning back. So Deo gratias for that.
That was Saint Medardus, Kevin.
We will never forget him, will we?
No, we will not.
He should be regularly invoked in the Archangel Radio studios, that's for sure.
And then I know that we're ready to move on to story time here shortly, but I just wanted to briefly talk about my family and I actually went to Pensacola Beach over the weekend, and we visited the cross there. It's there on Pensacola Beach, and it was actually the site of the first recorded mass for Spanish settlers when they arrived here in 1559.
Wow.
And basically, it was only like 200 feet from the beach. So from what I could gather, it seems like they landed, walked right up the beach, and then the first thing they did was said mass. So that seems like a good idea.
Incredible.
And it was really incredible. The monument has been there for a long time. And although I'm not exactly sure when the cross was installed there, the hill that the mass was set on has remained in place and without being shuffled around by any hurricanes or weather or anything like that, which there's been quite a few since that time, 1559. So...
That is incredible.
Yes.
Just tell people again where that is, so if anybody wanted to make a little pilgrimage.
That is in Santa Rosa Island, over in Pensacola, on Pensacola Beach. I think you can type into your Google Maps Santa Rosa Island, and it'll take you straight there. And then when you drive down there, you just have to look on your left. You'll see a hill and a cross there. It was really incredible and fulfilling to go visit it.
That's beautiful. Why don't it's sort of the sort of place that parishes in the archdiocese should all make little pilgrimages to and have masses said there, shouldn't they?
Certainly. I'm sure they have some things going on over there in the Escambia Archdiocese. It is in Pensacola and not Mobile, but Certainly it's about an hour drive over there, so really not too far. So it'd be a great thing to visit as a parish, I think.
That's wonderful.
And to say a mass there, I mean, that would be something else. I'm not sure how accessible the hill is, but I mean, right on the site, a mass could definitely be said there. We walked right up to the monument and everything. It's just a little bit up on the hill.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful idea. That's fantastic. Very, very inspiring. We'll have to find out more about that. Who were these men? Who was the priest? And what happened next? That would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir, it would.
Maybe one day it'll be a story time, Reed.
That would be great.
But not today.
Let's find out about this story time.
Let's go story time. Welcome to Storytime here on the Turley Frequency, live on Archangel Radio. Now, about 2006, a book appeared, published in the United States initially, and it soon made its way across to Europe, and it became a bit of a talking point in Catholic circles. The book was called Left to Tell, Discovering God Amidst the Rwandan Holocaust, by a young woman called Immaculée Ilibajija. And it was a kind of a memoir of a survivor. At the time, there was a vogue for memoirs, for people often recounting or recalling some shocking childhood abuse or some experiences, and then how they overcame them. That's what there was. It was dubbed sort of misery memoirs. That's how I remember it. It became very voguish, and I didn't read any of them, but when I was traveling around London, you'd see people reading these memoirs, which were really about triumphing over adversity. But Immaculée's Left to Tell, Discovering God Amidst the Rwandan Holocaust, is in a totally different league. Totally different. The experiences its author had survived were truly life-shattering. What she had been left to tell, however, was not simply how she survived those experiences, but, and here's the thing, how they brought her closer to God. And how, when all looked lost, the power of forgiveness had transformed her life. Now, the word genocide is used quite a lot today for all sorts of reasons. And in history, there are a number of genocides. There was the Ottoman slaughter of Armenian Christians in 1915, the Nazi murder of Jews during the Second World War, and then more recently, what has been termed the Rwandan genocide. Now, that occurred in the mid-1990s. But I suspect, even though it's probably the most recent of the three genocides I mentioned, it's probably one which is the vaguest in our minds, the sketchiest. We may have heard of it, may have an idea roughly where Rwanda is, but that's about it. The truth of these events, however, are truly horrifying. It was almost like an evil was unleashed, which proved as awful as it proved indiscriminate in who it assaulted, murdered, killed, raped. It was all to do with tribal warfare between one tribe known as the Hutus, the majority tribal group in Rwanda, who took to killing the minority tribe, the Tutsis. And by the time the Hutus gangs had finished their slaughter, approximately 1 million Tutsis had lost their lives. And that once peaceful and prosperous African country lay in ruins. Now, Immaculée was a Tutsi, and she'd grown up in a loving and talented Catholic family in a small town in the east of Rwanda. Rwanda used to be ruled by, I can't remember, it was the French or the Belgians. So it is a Catholic country. Immaculée done very well at school, and off she went to university. And she was happy studying there when this madness gripped the nation. What happened next is almost too incredible and too disturbing to describe. It's also heartbreaking. Think of it this way. Think for a moment of all those whom you love. Your family, your friends, your neighbors. Think of your schoolmates. People you go to school with, the people at college with you. Think of the normal family social bonds that create society, right? That bind us all together. Then think that one day those bonds start to be torn apart. Think of one's neighborhood and some within it being corrupted beyond belief. Imagine the horrors of realizing that your neighbors see you and your family not as friends and neighbors, but as the enemy. And thereafter, possessed by some malign spirit, come armed for murder. The idyllic childhood world that Immaculée describes in her opening chapters was followed by an unbelievable nightmare, one from which she never thought she would ever awake. In the face of the violations and the deaths of Tutsi women all around, Immaculée fled with her family. She fled with some of the other younger Tutsi girls, many of whom she'd never met before, but they were all fleeing, running from the mob that had come to do them harm. Now, in the process of seeking somewhere to hide, she was taken in, as were the Tutsi girls, by a pastor who was a Hutu, but he was a good man, he was a Christian, and he took them in at considerable risk to himself to give the girls a sanctuary. But even this experience of a man's kindness is tinged with a great deal of sadness in the book, because Immaculée had to witness as the male members of her family, her brothers and so forth, were denied that refuge. And they were sent away, only to be hacked to death by machete-wielding mobs. Try now to visualize what this woman had to endure for 91 days, so three months. Think of the smallest bathroom you can imagine. Then imagine that bathroom filled with strangers. And imagine that you're in the middle of it. Imagine that you are packed into that bathroom with those terrified strangers so much and so tightly that there is no space for anyone to move. Then allow for the fact that you cannot communicate in any way with your fellow inmates except through the most rudimentary sign language. Remember, if anybody knew that you were in there, those girls would face rape and then murder. The food that was given to those girls in 91 days was very, very meager and only appeared intermittently. So just imagine that you're also starving in that closed, confined, crowded space. You can never be alone for anything. This was the ordeal that Immaculée lived through. But it was the least of her worries, because she and the other girls were literally terrified. At any moment, they could be discovered. At any moment, the door would be kicked open and they would be raped and murdered, just like the other Tutsi women, which they had seen and witnessed and fled from. The mobs that were out to do them harm were drug-fueled, frenzied, crazed, inhuman, evil, without any mercy. That summer of 1994, those 3 months, that was Immaculée's world. Many of us have been complaining about the summer, about the heat, or the lack of heat on this side of the Atlantic, or been complaining about what we have to do, or we're tired, or 91 days, terrified, in a confined space, filled with strangers, so much so you cannot stretch out. Now, if that wasn't horrendous enough, then imagine also not knowing if your family are alive or dead. Just for a moment, close your eyes, if you're not driving, that is. Close your eyes and just think of that situation that Immaculée was in. Feel the anxiety and the fear that surrounded her. She was a young girl. She was a teenager. What resources did she have to deal with this? And on top of that, try to deal with the emotions that you are feeling when they are laced with not just fear, but an almost indescribable temptation to hatred, which would boil to the surface in an almost overwhelming force. Yet all the time you are unable to speak. You are unable to cry out. You are unable to even whimper and cry. In such a place, would you keep faith with our Lord? What answer would you have when the tempter told you of the man who had killed your family in the most disgusting ways? And when that same tempter told you that you also were doomed to such a fate, how would that leave you feeling? And when that same tempter whispers in your ear, "Where is your God?" what would be your answer? People sometimes exaggerate, especially when they're writing memoirs. Immaculée exaggerated nothing. In the space of a few days, as across Rwanda, blood-stained machete blades glinted in the African sun, her world was equally ripped to pieces. But that was not to be the end of things. Luckily, she knew how to pray the rosary. And when we come back to this story, we'll be talking more about Immaculée and what she did to survive that situation, and how, not only how she survived it, but in the face of all that evil, she triumphed. For now, Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us.
That's a heartbreaking story, Kevin.
Sure is.
I mean, the Rwandan genocide is something that we did learn about in school, and that really breaks my heart. I mean, there's really no other way to put it.
Well, we've only got half the story, Reed. Stick around for the next bit.
Yes, hopefully a tiny bit of redemption will be on the way. But what do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, we have the author, Dr. Gad Saad, coming on. And guess what Dr. Saad is talking about?
What would that be?
Happiness.
Oh, well, okay. We might need that after today's story time.
That's right. We've got Dr. Saad's guidance to happiness. You couldn't make it up, could you?
All right. Well, I'm happy to hear it.
Listen, I hope you enjoyed starting your week with us here on Archangel Radio. We've certainly enjoyed your company, and we look forward to it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, there's nothing to say other than to ask St. Joseph to watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless us and keep us.